Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And if you've listened to us before, you know that this is one of my favorite times of the week. And one of the things that I do is bring along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
I like that when he answers. He didn't hang me out to dry.
Only occasionally do I do that, and then you never know.
That's right. I never know when you're going to revert to that old fun of yours. If you get our emails, you know that our guest tonight is Auguste Rodin. And if you don't get our emails and you would like to, Richard, would you tell our audience how they can get them?
Yes, you just go to our website, the2012countdown.com, and enter your name and your email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website, and then click on the link in the email that comes to you to register yourself, and everything will unfold in front of you.
Isn't that wonderful? Everything will unfold. Who could ask for anything more?
The mind boggles.
Doesn't it? So, if you have listened to us before, you know that we call in the guest, who, as we said tonight, is Auguste Rodin, and Richard connects with him. And you might not know what he looked like, but if you put your awareness in the heart center, you might be able to feel these energies as Richard describes them. So, Richard, would you call in Mr. Rodin?
Yes, I have done so. He's been here with me for a while. And as I've said before, when I'm connecting with these individuals in this way, it's like they come very close to me, that I can find their energy unmistakable, you might say. And there is a strength and a purity to Rodin's energy. It's not simply a love energy. I experience it a bit left of center. There is a major love component to it. But it's very interesting because I get the sense of a very thoughtful individual. And I found that interesting as I reflected on it, because the most well-known a focus of his work, you might say, was the character called The Thinker, which he
yes.
did on several occasions in various guises, in various pieces of work, either standalone or as part of a broader set. And that's how I experience him, this very thoughtful, considered individual. Very interesting that that tie-up should be there. I wasn't looking for it, but it's just like it kind of fits.
What do you
so
say about
A very honest, direct individual is my sense. A very committed individual. Very, very, I suspect, very caring individual on a level. Very interesting.
What do you think of this? I get the sense of determination.
Certainly. Certainly that. Anything else you want to pick up?
Well, I as I said, I got this sense of determination. He, like so many other artists and painters and sculptors, it took them a long time to establish their credibility, to be recognized.
Yes.
And Mr. Rodin was one of those that it took a long time for the public to recognize his works. And so there was disappointment there, but there was, and what I'm sensing is this great determination to overcome all obstacles. And maybe we'll hear about some of that when he gives us his message.
Let's see what he has to say to us. My dear friends, it is an honor to come forth in this manner I was aware that some others had been welcomed forth in this manner, and whilst I was not seeking it directly, I was hoping to have this opportunity, and so I am grateful that this opportunity came my way, so to speak. And some of you will recognize that I was a contemporary, you might say, of Monet, who you heard from just recently. And we were aware of each other, but not close, you might say, but in many ways suffered similar journeys of struggle. The focus of his work was quite different from mine. Of course, he was a painter working with light, where my focus was on sculpture. And when I first got started, there were many who were very critical of my work, because when I began my work, the tradition of sculpture was very formal, very focused upon bringing forth the, you might consider, most exact representation of the physical form that one could achieve. And in many ways, the struggle that Monet went through was very similar in that regard. When he began to work in his style, there was still a very strong pressure, you might say, to paint things in that very clear manner, trying to reflect things as they were seen directly, rather than the subtle expression of light that he focused upon. And in my case, what I was focused upon expressing was the vitality, you might say, the enlivenment, the way in which the soul or spirit expressed through the physical form. In other words, rather than trying to reflect the very perfection of anatomical detail, which one might look at Michelangelo's work as primarily being about, and of course that wondrous David that is so well known because of its extraordinary perfection. This was not my focus, but indeed my focus was rather more to, as I said, express the enlivenment that was present, being expressed through the physical form. You might consider I was seeking a more spiritual expression, the essence which enlivens the human form. And this was my focus, and I struggled with this on two levels. Firstly, to figure out exactly how to achieve that. And secondly, to, you might say, confront the so-called experts of my time, who felt that the focus should be more in that style of Michelangelo, who was expressing that very clear statement of the physical form. So it was a struggle, I have to say, to bring this forth, and also to understand how to bring it forth. But I feel I was successful. And I know Richard mentioned the museum in Paris, which represents quite a deal of my work. And if you have not been there, I encourage you to visit there and see if you can detect this expression of enlivenment in my work that I sought to express, this vitality, this sense of spirit that flows through the physical form. I was very aware of this notion that you hear, that we are a spiritual being living a human journey, a human lifetime. And as such, I was aware of how, you might say, that vitality of spirit, the soul, enlivened the physical form. And it was this that I was seeking to express in my work. And I expressed it in many different ways. Some of it was a very clear form, but an active form, a moving, living expression. And in others, it was a bit more abstract, without the perfection of the physical form, a la Michelangelo, but rather a more rough-hewn expression, again to express the vitality, the living sense of what it means to be human. And sometimes that was not necessarily an expression of joy or purity, but also expressed some of the less attractive elements of what it means to be a human being. So I am appreciative of the opportunity to, you might consider, explain what I was seeking to express through my work, because it is not my view that this has been well documented by history. Again, there are those forces which wish to eliminate the notion that there is this expression of the soul through the physical form. And so those forces are at work within art history, as in so many other areas, and it has acted to suppress what I spoke about in my lifetime about these elements, because I did express them. And I hope that by bringing it forth in this manner, at least some people will look at my work anew and with a little more understanding than so many have had as they have looked at my work. I do appreciate that so many have celebrated my work now as a body of work, as a valid sculptor, as a valid artist, you might say. People have gained that sense of my work, and time has allowed it to, you might consider, solidify its place in the body of art within the world. So I do appreciate that, but perhaps my message here tonight will provide those witnessing my work with a little more insight of what is being expressed through my sculpture. So I firstly wanted to take the opportunity to explain this to any of you who may be interested. And in a sense, it is a relief to be able to do this in this manner. It is kind of like a load off my chest, you might say, even though I don't have such a thing in this dimension, but you understand my meaning. And so this is the first thing I wished to say. The second thing I wished to say is that I have a connection with a great many of you that are listening to this radio show, because I now understand that I, like so many artists of various sorts, not only those who worked with their hands painting or sculpting, but also those who created music and have played music, so many of them are in fact cherubim, because all of this is an expression of vibration in a sense. And I too was, and you might continue to be, a cherubim, although no longer incarnated. And so I have this connection with so many of you that are listening to these words. And it is, you might consider, something of a burden to carry this role, this responsibility, this sensitivity, this knowing and yet not knowing that is a part of perhaps almost every lifetime since the fall in Atlantis, where a cherubim has incarnated, because there is this understanding of vibration, this sensitivity, this knowing that you are here for some purpose, that you don't necessarily even get to understand in your lifetime. And I certainly did not understand the truth of who and what I was whilst I was incarnate. But once I had crossed over, I understood why my life had been as it had been and why I chose that path, you might consider. So it is something that, in a sense, is a driving force for me in coming forth and sharing this with you, because this struggle that I experienced is a struggle that so many of you have also experienced in your lives and, in a sense, continue to do so. And so I come forth to give you a little encouragement in that I understood the nature of the struggle that it means to be incarnated in this manner, carrying this very high vibration, this great awareness of vibration, this sensitivity to vibration. It is a challenging path to walk, and I empathize with all of you. So I wanted to share this with you, and also I wanted to give you encouragement, as so many others have come forth on this radio show have done, to say to you that your time in flesh, you might say, is not futile, is not being wasted. What you are here to do indeed will unfold. I can witness it very clearly from where I stand. It is not something which is open to question. What is questioned by you is the uncertainty, the time that it is taking to unfold, the seeming inaccuracies of information that you are given about this, the seemingly endless waiting, the struggles within your own lives as you await this unfolding. And I simply want to say to you to hang in there, you could say, to use the modern vernacular, because it is so very close to being in your experience. And even a day seems so long as you wait for change. But when the change comes, your waiting time will simply dissolve as part of the process of getting to where you needed to be for it to unfold. So stay the course, my friends. Hang in there. Know that it will all come forth very soon into your experience. And so it is.
Thank you so much, the two of you. And I would like to invite our listeners to call in if they have a question that you wish Mr. Rodin to answer. We will be taking questions now. And I do have a question of Mr. Rodin. When someone becomes very discouraged, either in their profession or otherwise, what advice can you give to people so that they can keep going?
Firstly, my advice is that when you run into roadblocks on your chosen path, then the first thing you need to do is take a path where you survive in the world. And in my case, I worked as a bricklayer for a period of time to be able to reflect and support myself and to have enough income to survive whilst I considered what I was doing. Did I really want to be an artist? Was this really what I wanted to do? Was it really what I was, you might consider, here to do? How powerful was this drive within me? And for some, they, you might consider, explore the path of an artist, but when they run into roadblocks of one sort or another, or they recognize the sacrifices that need to be made to truly achieve at the highest level, it is a price they are unwilling to pay. And I do not judge those individuals in any manner, because it is a personal choice in life. And so many have talent, but not the drive, you might consider, to overcome the challenges and to succeed. And so they choose a different path in life, some with regret, many not. And so I would not simply say that when you choose a path and find it is difficult, that necessarily you should fight through to continue. But if, like me, you feel that that truly is what drives you in life, then you need to keep going. You need to figure out how you make life work sufficiently well so that you can, you might consider, activate your artistry, your skill, whatever it is that you wish to master and bring forth in life. And this is what I did ultimately, though I did give up in a sense in the face of the challenges when I became a bricklayer. But I did it, as I said, to create a source of income, to survive, you might say, whilst I considered if this was what I wanted to do, that is my sculpture, or whether it was not such a burning drive in me. And so what I say to you is that if you run into challenges, reflect, go within and consider what is truly important to you. And if what drives you is the realization of your skills and abilities reflected through your art, then find the path through. If it is important enough to you, there is always a path through. It may not be what you might consider an ideal path, but if it is the expression of your art that you wish to make, then you will almost pay any price to be able to bring it forth. And so keep going if that is what drives you. And certainly in my case, after some reflection and some despair even of the struggle, I realized that the only thing that really was important to me in my life was to express my artistic skill through sculpture. And I realized that after a visit to Italy, which is well documented in history. It was the trigger. Visiting and experiencing the work of some of the great Renaissance artists, to see the work that they did and to understand a little of their challenges and journey, it reinvigorated my desire to bring forth my contribution on that level. And so that is how it unfolded for me. But as I said, I am not in judgment of anyone who makes a different choice from the one that I made. So the ultimate thing is to reflect on where you find yourself and what is important to you. And if the expression of your skill, your ability, your gift is paramount for you, then do whatever it takes to be able to express that ability.
Thank you. Were your parents supportive of your work?
My parents were not really supportive of my work. They were not really in my life for very long. And so, in a sense, I moved forward despite them, and I'm not being critical of them in that manner, but they were not really what you might consider supportive of the path that I walked.
I do believe that that is so important for parents to be supportive of their children's ideals. And I would like for you, if you might, give a few thoughts to parents so they can be supportive of their children's goals.
Perhaps the most important thing that I would say to parents is to seek to support your children in being the best that they can be. And I do not say this from the perspective of having been a good parent, because I had a son and he was, you might consider, a little backward, and in a sense, I did not support him or encourage him greatly. And in fact, we were estranged for quite a deal of time because I was, you might consider, disappointed in him. So I do not speak to you as what I would consider the most successful parent, but rather more, I speak to you from a point of reflection. And the important thing is to give your children confidence in themselves to the best of your ability, to encourage them, to have them have a sense of the possibility of what they can achieve, because this above all else is what will have them achieve. It is not a matter of intelligence or many other things. It is really the, you might consider, conviction of an individual to seek out what it is they wish to do in life. And this requires self-confidence, self-assurance, a drive to be successful. And this, above all else, is what achieves success in the world, in whatever form that is. I'm not saying that it's necessarily a particular career or being an artist or any particular thing. It might even be to simply live as a hermit and to be separate from the world. There is nothing invalid about that either, but it is a very committed and, you might consider on a level, very successful expression of what it means to be a human being. There is a tendency to judge things on the basis of formal success in the world. And the key thing really is the satisfaction, the security within oneself of an individual, not necessarily in terms of worldly possessions and reputation and so on. These things are not necessarily important. What is important is the individual builds a sense of who and what they are as a soul and as a healed and loving human being, whatever form that takes. And if you can, as a parent, encourage an individual, a child, to understand that they are, by definition, on a level perfect, and that whilst you may have some direction that you need to apply as a parent from a disciplinary perspective, so your child understands boundaries, within those boundaries you should encourage your children to be the best of whatever it is they want to be, provided that is not at the expense of others. And so this would be my advice to any parent.
I really can relate to your answer about parents and children, and I think it's so true, and I think it's so important today. It's been my observation that parents don't always allow children to follow their own path, and I do think it's extremely important. Children, I know of children who have given up their dreams and their goals to please their parents and find years of unhappiness. And I like the words that you use because I think it is so important. So I am not familiar with many of your works. I am familiar with The Thinker.
We have a caller, Carolyn. I don't know if you're interested in that.
A what?
A caller on line one.
Oh, because it's not showing up on my page. Yes. Who is it, Richard?
It's Lou.
Lou, welcome. You have a question.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you all for doing this tonight. I have to say that I really heard the message in a very deep part of me. And I, especially the part where you're talking about the cherubim and the sensitivity that artists have, and the nature of vibration, and in different ways trying to bring that through. I had gone to the Juilliard School, studied music theory and composition, and so composing for me has been very important, but it's not been a primary focus in my life at this time. But my day job was making facial prosthetics, so I really had this drive, as you described it, and so that's why I had to call in, because I could really relate to your message on so many levels. But there is this drive that It's just part of who you are. You just can't live without it, I feel. And I think that
yes.
I think that's what you were trying to communicate. I think I'm a cherubim. I think I meant, I related to the message, part of the message where you said you know you have a mission or a purpose and you're not quite sure what it is, but you know that. And I'm not sure if that is related to my music. I do think there will be a time to bring that forward because I am raising a family and I, just like with my music, take it, you know, entirely seriously. I mean, I devote everything I have to that is such an important job, more important than any title. But the music, without it, I feel so depressed without it. And if I don't keep it in my life, and I don't know if you can relate to these expressions, but for me as an artist, being a, I guess, trying to communicate a spirit having emotional feelings, not so much looking at life as a human, but really as a spirit living a human existence. And that's kind of what I've been trying to communicate. And I'm just wondering if you have any comments about that. And I would appreciate it. I'm just so, you know, really touched by your message tonight.
Well, let me ask you, do you feel like you are a cherubim?
I do.
Have you joined our group in any way?
Not yet.
I would suggest that you send Richard an email.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, would you give this lady your email address?
Yes, you can just send me an email at richard@richardpresser.com.
And I would like to invite anyone out there that think they are a cherubim or in some way have this sensitivity that we are discussing tonight, because we have conference calls with people who are also cherubim, who also have that sensitivity. And sometimes being out there in the world without communicating with people who are like you, it becomes very difficult. Everybody does not have that sensitivity that we're talking about.
No, and it's quite lonely sometimes.
And it is.
Yes.
It is, Lou. And if you send me an email, Lou, because I get so much junk email, I have an email filter in place. So if you send me an email, and I say this to everyone who sends me an email but hasn't done so in the past, is not in contact with me from the past, you will get a challenge email, and you just need to click on the link in that challenge so that your email comes through to me. I might happen to trip over it when I scan it later, but just click on the link to make sure your email comes through to me so you're not stuck in the filter.
What do you mean challenge, Richard?
I mean they get an email saying, are you a real person, you know?
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what you meant by that.
Yep, that's what I mean.
Yes.
Okay, but I guess my question was, do these characteristics sound, you know, can he relate to, as I was relating to his description of being an artist, does that, do these things make sense to him as an artist?
Let me see. What you are describing, Lou, makes perfect sense as an artist. It is this angst almost in life of the artist, this drive to express your gift and yet also needing to live in life. And in ways it is more challenging for a woman, because if you choose to have a family as you have done, the raising of your children is a very important role in life, one that has been somewhat devalued in your world. And so I honor your choice to make that a priority in your life for the period when your children are young and requiring your input. And it is a challenging balance through those years. They are busy years. You are working to have the income to support you and your family through this difficult period. And also you are drawn to not only take care of your children, but seek to express your musical gifts. And so this tension between these things becomes very powerful in these years when you have young children. But it will get easier for you to balance these things up as your children grow and they become less dependent upon you. And take the opportunity to grasp your gift a little more as that comes through. I do sense that you will do that. But this tension that you describe is a beautiful expression of how this lives for most artists that have that drive to express their gift.
Thank you both. I have found that many artists and musicians and sculptors are cherubim. What would you say to that, Richard?
Very much so. It's as Rodin said, it is very common for them to be drawn to these kinds of things. Again, there is this sensitivity that they carry, and particularly in the field of music, where by definition you're working with vibration. Music is by definition is an expression of vibration, and so it's quite common for when we look into some of the great composers of the past, for example, lo and behold, we find that's what they were.
And I do think it is so important when one finds themselves in that situation to come together, to connect with other cherubim. You have a lot in common, and those who are not cherubim may not have the sensitivity that you have and give you the support that you need. And the cherubim truly do need a lot of support because of this sensitivity.
I would agree.
And another thing is, in my belief, many of the cherubim who have come with this sensitivity also come with the idea of healing. There are things that they need to heal in their own lives and things that they want to heal in others. Lou, how many children did you say that you had?
I think she might have gone, Carolyn. I think she hung up.
Oh, okay. Because I sense that there is one of her children is a cherubim also. I wanted to ask her about that sensitivity. So if you are listening and you hear this, Lou, call back. I am curious about this. I think you have a cherubim that you have given birth to who has come because you could be support to them. So is there anyone else who would like to call in and ask Mr. Rodin a question? I think Lou's questions were very interesting.
You were starting to raise something about his artwork, Carolyn.
I'm not familiar with a lot of his artwork, and I'm wondering if he, well, of course, he had some years that he was a bricklayer. Did he get to create all of, or bring into, create work that carried his ideas? I feel like perhaps he had some work that he thought about that he didn't have the opportunity to really produce. Is that true?
I feel that I was able to express the essence of what I sought to express in my life. I was quite productive once I got moving, you might consider. And so people have seen quite a deal of my art in the world, though there were projects that I was working on at the end of my life that I would have appreciated the opportunity to complete because they carried ideas, perhaps communal ideas. I was working in large measure upon, you might consider, contracted monuments that were being created in various places. And so they carried, in a sense, communal ideas, not so much about the individual. And this kind of expression was something that was important to me later in my life, where I sought to communicate more you might consider complex ideas in terms of the interactions of people. I mentioned earlier that I, in some of those things, reflected some of the less attractive aspects of human life. So I would like to have done a little more along those lines. But in overall terms, I am satisfied with what I was able to express and achieve in my life.
Thank you. If there are other people out there, Mr. Rodin, who wish to sculpt, if they would connect with you, would you be able to assist them and help them?
If they open up their ability to communicate with me, I am very willing to connect with anyone who wishes to. You might consider plug into my guidance. But I would say that for everyone who is driven to this kind of path, the most powerful force, you might say, that drives them on this path is their connection with their monad, that totality of their soul. And it is this connection that is most important for most artists. Of course, everyone seeks to learn from the skills and experience of others, and this is what I am, in a sense, offering. But the major connection for all great artists is that channel that they have back to their monad. It is this path that their music comes through. Anyone who is, you might consider, a great artist or composer knows that they are simply a channel, you might say, for what comes forth in their work, whatever it be, whether it be music or sculpture or painting or whatever it is. They are really putting on canvas, you might consider, in whatever terms you might consider their canvas to be, those promptings, that guidance which flows down from their monad to them. And so I encourage them to be open to this guidance, because that is the heart of their true artistic skill, bringing that gift forth and expressing it in this dimension.
Thank you so much for that. Well, I consider beautiful, very beautiful answer. And this is something that Richard works with people and can teach them how to connect with their monad. Do you wish to comment on that, Richard?
Yes, the work that we do in teaching people how to connect with, you might consider, other aspects of themselves and beings that have crossed over and just other expressions of consciousness in a broad sense. We do that through what we call right brain magic work. And we call it that because really this communication comes through the right side of the brain, the side which is not the logical, analytical, judgmental kind of side that we're encouraged to live inside in this world, but in fact the other side of the brain. And so, yes, we teach that through what we call a right brain magic session. And you can find this at our website called rightbrainmagic.com. You can order
a session. Well, that's original.
You like that, do you?
I really like that.
Good, you can have it. So, yeah, you'll see on there some detail of people's experiences doing this work, and you can order your own session with me if you wish.
And Richard really is a master at teaching this. So if it's something that you want to learn, there's the place to pick up on it.
Thank you.
I would like to thank Mr. Rodin and thank Richard.
Lou has come back, Carolyn, so you might want to just connect with her.
Oh, okay. It's not showing up on my screen. Lou, what can we help you with, dear?
Oh, I was called a few minutes ago, and you had asked,
yes.
I had already hung up, if I had, I have two daughters, and yes, I definitely believe one is a cherubim, and she's very sensitive, and very, very sensitive.
Yes, I was picking up on
joy.
Sensitivity.
She is joy incarnate, this little girl. She can
Aww.
Entertain herself for hours with a balloon. I mean, I have people commenting on just this pure joy. And the world is being a little rough right now for her. And I'm concerned about her. And I want to support her. And I
Tell
appreciate his advice.
Tell me why you think Pardon? The world is being rough. Tell me why you feel the world is rough on her right now. What's going on?
Well, she was actually kidnapped from me for a period of time.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
How sad.
There's really, evil in the world. There's dark forces at work, you know, and there's
yes,
greed.
And, yeah.
And
does she need
I'm
to be healed
trying to
from
protect
this?
Her.
Yeah. Does she need to be healed from this?
She does. And so does my other daughter. They're little. I mean, she spent half of her life going through this, but she'll sit next to me on the piano and she'll want to sing and I'll play and I try to, and so she's starting to come out a little bit more, you know, to kind of, express her own personality, which she really knows how to do. She's very bubbly, a lot like me when I was little. I mean, a chatterbox, a cha-cha-don, you know, and I try to connect. I want to connect with this gentleman, and hopefully he can guide me. But I have such trouble doing it because I'm just overwhelmed in the situation that I'm in that I just can't seem to connect. I can't get there. So,
Richard, any thoughts for this lady?
You're a single mother, Lou?
Yes.
Above all else, express your love to her, Lou. There is nothing more important than that. We get distracted with all sorts of other things that we feel we should be doing, but simply loving her and telling her that you love her and demonstrate it as you do with your music with her. Just express your love to her and let the other stuff wash away, and it will wash away. Love above all else.
Absolutely. Thank you. I mean, she used to say, I want to go home. As soon as she had the ability to talk, she would say, I want to go home. So we were home. We were in our home.
God bless her.
And I knew
well,
she wasn't
she
from
has
here.
Memories.
Right. And, you know,
that's
she's
so,
looking
so
up at
common.
Night. I mean, every airplane that passes, she says, there's a UFO, there's a UFO. She looks at the stars. She says, that must be where I'm from. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay. So I go with it. But I'm not sure where her soul's from. I don't know. She thinks she might be, but she always said, I want to go home. This was a hostile place for her. And it is hard being
think,
a spirit.
We tend to think, Lou, that
world.
It might be some other star system or something, which is, I'm sure her monad has sent forth fingers of conscience from there. But really, where she's from is the center of the cosmos. That's where her monad is. That's where your monad is, in the center of the cosmos.
Right.
That's where home is. It's not some other planet or star, but it's the center of the cosmos. That's what home is.
Why would she say, I want to go home? She was like 2 years old. Is she?
Well, because she
talk?
Has a sense of the challenge of being in this consciousness. She has an awareness of who and what she is. Young children quite often do. They don't quite know how to express it, but they know they don't belong here, especially when they're cherubim. You know, I've worked with so many incarnated cherubim now, and it's not unusual to hear that. They, you know, as adults, they remember having that experience as children. One of their first recollections is of wanting to go home. That's why I chuckled, because it's so common.
That's funny. It is a very hard place for cherubim, I have to say. This
yes,
earth,
it is.
Because
for sure.
I hope it changes soon. I hope we are on track. For those
so
Lou, join your cherubim brothers and sisters. I think if you came on the conference call and met some of them, it would make a big difference in your life. What do you think, Richard?
I think it would. I think it would. So thank you for joining us again, Lou. We appreciate it, and we look forward to connecting with you some more.
Indeed.
Thank you very much.
So again, yes, dear. So again, I thank Rodin, and I thank Richard.
I don't know.
For making
don't wrap things up just yet, Carolyn. For some reason, you can't see the callers, but we have Lindsay on line two. Lindsay?
Yes.
Hello, Carolyn. Hello, Richard. Hello, Mr. Roden. I dearly love the sculptures of the thinker and the kiss. And I have several questions, and one of them is, what inspired you to do these two particular sculptures?
Again, it ultimately comes back to the essence of all of my work, and that was to express the vitality, you might consider, of life as it is expressed through the physical form, rather than just being the physical form itself, but to express that sense of vitality, of expression of life, expression of spirit through the physical form. And I feel both of these are examples of this in different ways, but they are both expressions of this, you might consider, vitality.
Yes, I can feel it in both sculptures. And also, it's kind of ironic, but I make some little tiny mini sculptures, not sculpting, but more or less assembling gemstone angels. And for 2 years, I was quite successful in making them and selling them. And then I got into another realm of work, even though I've got tons of material in which to make many, many more. And I'd like to get back to it. And earlier you suggested getting in touch with your monad.
Excuse me, dear. We really are at the end of the show.
Okay.
Ask your question. What, you want to know what a monad is?
No, better instructions on how to get in touch with one's monad.
Okay, that's what the Right Brain Magic Session work teaches you to do.
Okay, so that's what I should do then.
Go to the website and you'll get some information on it. Give her the address of the website again, Richard, please.
Rightbrainmagic.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, there's a lot of interesting information on that site that will help you. So we are at the end of our time, and Richard, we probably have about 2 minutes. I would like for you to use those 2 minutes to talk a little bit about the Book of Love.
Yes, I threatened to push it off a cliff last week. I did so on a couple of days ago, on the 1st of January, and many people have begun to connect with it, which is very exciting. It's a relatively short little book, but the content is extraordinarily powerful, I think. There are just a few key messages that it contains, and they are, I think, profound. And so I encourage you, if you're not connected with the Book of Love, to do so. You will have had an email from me about it if you're on our list. If you are not, get your name on our list at the 2012countdown.com, and I will be sending out further emails in relation to it to those people who have not connected with it so far. So I encourage you to do so.
Well, Richard, we are at the end of our radio show today. An hour goes by so quickly, doesn't it?
It does fly.
Yes. So I would like to thank you for your beautiful work and thank Mr. Rodin for being here. His answers and insights were just beautiful. I could have asked more questions of him myself. So we will leave it at till the next time.
Indeed.
Dear
and
friends.
Thank you, Carolyn, for your contribution and your important role in making all this work.
Thank you, dear.
Until next time, my friends. Good night for now.
Until next time, good night for now.